Hi folks, Joe Stagner from Microsoft here with video number 3 in this series on building ASP.NET web applications using Microsoft Visual Web Developer Express. Now that we've taken a reasonable tour of the Visual Web Developer IDE, and we've learned how IntelliSense can help us learn to write code and to write code more efficiently, the next thing we need to do is start to understand the forms model for ASP.NET. And the basic forms model for ASP.NET is called Web Forms. So I think the best way to start getting an understanding of ASP.NET Web Forms is to look at how forms work in HTML so that we can compare how forms work between HTML and ASP.NET. So let's go ahead and switch over to Microsoft Expression Web and build an HTML page that has some form behaviors, and then we can build the same form in ASP.NET here in Visual Web Developer and see how much Visual Web Developer in ASP.NET actually does for us. So I have an empty HTML page here on my desktop. If we open it up, we can see there's nothing gets rendered in the browser. And if we open it up in Microsoft Expression Web, we can see that we've just got the shell of an HTML page. We haven't actually started entering any markup yet. Now, innate to all web applications is the ability to take some data from the client, whether it's user input or recorded activities or whatever, and post that information back to a server that will then do something with that information. And that communication takes place over a common protocol called HTTP or the Hypertext Transport Protocol. Now it's important to understand that the HTTP is basically a packaging mechanism by which the bits of data that live inside the browser can be bundled and sent and received by the server. But the HTTP protocol is innately stateless, which means that there's no tight coupling between the browser and the server. The browser doesn't know what the server is doing, and the server doesn't know what the browser is doing. So when the browser has a web page in it, and we submit the contents of the form elements on that web page back to the server, the browser doesn't actually know for sure that the server is still even there. When the server receives a request from a browser, it knows the address that browser sent the request from, and when it does its processing and renders the markup to send back down to the browser in response, it doesn't actually know if the browser that sent that request is still there waiting for the response. And this is important to understand because one of the great things that ASP.NET does is add a bunch of easy-to-use state management into our web applications. So to get started, again, here we're not working in ASP.NET. We're just going to quickly write an HTML page with a form so that we can compare and contrast how forms work with HTML versus how they work with ASP.NET. So here, in the body tag of our HTML page, let's go ahead and insert a form. Now, I'm using Microsoft Expression Web here just so you don't have to watch me do all of the coding by hand. So here, we have a form element, and in order to submit this form back to a server, we're going to need a submit action. Now, I can call the submit function on the document directly from JavaScript, or I can just use a input button that is of type submit. So we'll call this submit form and we'll change the value to read click to submit. And if we save this and now go and open our HTML page in a browser, you can see here that we've got the submit button, but if we click submit, nothing happens, right? And the reason that nothing happens is that we haven't told our page where it's supposed to submit to. And we can tell it where to submit to by changing the action attribute to give it a URL. Now, this could be a page relative if we were running this against a server, and remember, we're not. We're just opening it up in a browser from our desktop. Now, if we were running on a server, we could put a relative page, so we could say page2.aspx, for example. In our case, or it could be a complete URL, which is what we're going to do in our case. And I'm just going to point this action attribute at my blog. So let's go ahead and save the page. Go ahead and refresh it in the browser. And now when I click submit, now you'll note we actually will get a rendering from my blog application. Now, We haven't done anything because we haven't sent any data to that action target, and the default.aspx page at my blog doesn't know what to do with form elements sent from our page, but you see how that navigation takes place, right? So we're manually specifying what the navigation model is. So the next thing we should do is add some form tags so that we actually have some data in our form. So to begin, let's add an input item. So let's find the input text element in HTML. And notice that all of these are input types. They're input tags, and it's the type that determines whether it's a text box, a checkbox, a password box, or what have you. And so we'll just call that text 1, and we'll leave it empty. And now I'm just going to put in a couple of break tabs for spacing. And now let's put in a HTML label. Now remember, we're not working with ASP.NET control, so there's no server-side activity going on here. It's all client-side stuff. So let's insert a label control. And we'll just leave it label 1. And let's put a little value in here. And let's go ahead and save and open it up in a browser just so we can see where we're at. All right, so we have the temp value. Click to submit. And, of course, we still submit to the Misfit Geek website. All right, so we're working along here. Let's add a couple of line spaces in between our form submit button and our text button, or I should say our label control. And let's add another button. All right, so notice what we've got here now. We've got the submit form button. We have a label, which is an HTML element on our page. Now let's add another button, but this time it's not going to be a submit button. It's just going to be a regular HTML button. Right? So let's call that actually HTML button. Button type. Click me for a surprise. Okay. So let's go ahead and run that page again. All right. So click me for a surprise. But we don't get a surprise when we click it. And the reason is we have to manually create an event handler for the click event of that button. All right? So change my typo there. So what we need to do here is let's specify an on click event handler. Right? So now we're working with JavaScript now. So we're going to specify an on click event handler, and we're going to say when the onClick event is fired, return, and let's call a JavaScript method, HTML. Now, we haven't written this method yet. We will do it momentarily. HTML button click. Okay. Now, of course, we have to implement HTML button click. So in order to do that, we'll go up here and in the header section of our web page, let's add a script tag. And notice that there's some IntelliSense here in expression web as well. So type is going to be equal to JavaScript. And we also want to add a language attribute. So let's say language. This is just good practice. And now we can start to write some JavaScript. Now, by the way, I'll note that this isn't absolutely mandatory, but if you're doing this JavaScript programming in Visual Studio, you're probably going to see something that looks like this. And if you see this, it's actually a good thing. And what CData does is CData basically, because the web is moving towards more XHTML compliance. What CData does is specifies to the parsing engine for the markup that what is contained within the CData tag should be considered just sort of literal characters and not markup language. And because what we're putting inside these CData tags is actually JavaScript, we want the JavaScript interpreter to be evaluating the characters that are contained inside the script tag. So it's just a newer convention. So here we're going to write a function, and we'll say function, and the name of the function that we're going to write for this client-side JavaScript click event handler is going to be HTML button click. So we'll do that. And here we can provide the implementation. So to provide the implementation, we'll again be writing JavaScript here. Let's say document get element by ID. And we'll get the ID name in a minute. And then we want the inner HTML or text. We're just going to be working with text, so we'll say inner HTML, the inner text, equal. And this is, again, going to be a text string. Here's your text. And a semicolon, because we're writing in JavaScript. Now, we need the ID of the element that we want to populate. So we'll get that. The ID is label 1. So let's put label 1 in the getElementById parameter. Let's go ahead and save this. Go out. Fire up our web page. This just tells us, because we're not running from a web server, it tells us that this code is trying to run, this page is trying to run some script code, just a safety feature of Internet Explorer. Right, so if I click here, click me for a surprise, notice that we had the activity take place, our HTML label gets updated. We didn't get redirected to the action target, which is currently my blog page, because this is all running on the client side. There's no server submit. Right? So now you've got just a rough idea of how forms work and how JavaScript gets called in client side code. Now let's switch back over to Visual Web Developer and have a look at how forms work with ASP.NET. Okay, so here we are back home in Visual Web Developer Express. Let's create a new website. We'll use the standard ASP.NET website template. And what we see here in our ASPX page is very similar to the plain HTML page that we were previously working with. There are, though, a couple of important distinctions. The first is up at the top of this page, we have this page directive. And it tells us that the language that we're going to be working with on the server is Visual Basic. Auto Event Wire Up is false. We can choose to let the tools automatically wire up all the events, but I prefer not to do that because I like the efficiency of picking and choosing myself. Then we have these two other directives that we'll slide to the right to have a look at. One is the code file, and this tells us where the server-side logic will be found. And this is code behind. This is how we separate markup in the ASPX page from server-side logic in the code behind file. And in our case, it's named default.aspx.vb. You'll note the naming convention here. Default.aspx is the name of the web page, the ASP page that I'm working on, and default.aspx.vb is the code behind file. And it's .vb because I chose Visual Basic as my programming language. If I chose C# for this project as my programming language, the extension would be CS. And if you're using languages other than VB and C#, it will be whatever the extension for your particular .NET language is. And then last, we have this inherits attribute right here, and this is just by default set to inherits underscore default, which is the class that we're inheriting for this page, and it's just using the default. Now, if the inherits doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. Everything in .NET is object-oriented, even if you're not concentrating on the object-oriented aspects. So you can inherit from other than default if you choose to, but that's sort of a more advanced topic. There's another thing here that's a subtle but very important difference between the ASPX page that we're building and the HTML page that we built. And that is in the form of these attributes run at server. So you'll notice that both the head element and the form element have run at server attributes. And what the run at server attribute does is provide guidance to the runtime to indicate that the things that are found inside this element require evaluation by the server side runtime. And we'll see how that applies momentarily. So when we were building our HTML page, we were working with Microsoft Expression Web, and we were working with HTML controls. So Expression Web has a toolbox, but we weren't working with ASP.NET controls. And in fact, if we scroll down in Visual Web Developer, we'll see that there is a toolbox collection for HTML controls as well. So here's our button control, our text control. And the difference between these, so there are lots more ASP.NET controls, but where there are controls that are similar between HTML and ASP.NET, so things like the text box control, the checkbox control, the button control. The difference, of course, is that ASP.NET controls can have associated server-side logic, whereas HTML controls can only be manipulated on client-side with JavaScript. Right, so we're not going to work with HTML controls for now. We're going to go ahead and go back up to the top of our toolbox, and we're going to be working with controls that can be found in the standard collection of the Visual Web Developer toolbox. So here, let's start by grabbing a label and dragging it out of the toolbox and dropping it on my page. And then I'm going to add a couple of manual break controls. This is just some formatting. Now, by the way, if I switch over into design mode, if I want to, I can just as easily take a control out of the toolbox and drop it here in design mode. And how you end up working will be entirely determined by what your preference is. I tend to prefer to work primarily in source mode and then switch back and forth to see how the changes that I'm making in source mode affect the visual aesthetics of my page. So here, let's go ahead and add another text box, and then I'm going to want a button control. Now, if we switch to design mode and see what our UI looks like, well, let's go and space that label just one more break. All right, so here we are in design mode, and I want to program an event handler for this button control. Now, you'll recall that when we programmed the HTML page, we had to manually connect a JavaScript event handler, and then we had to implement that event handler, which did some manipulation of the controls on our page. We need to do the same sort of thing with an ASP.NET control, but our implementation that manipulates these controls is going to take place back on the server in the language of our choice. In the case of this page, it'll be Visual Basic. We could write all of the code to create that event handler and then connect it manually, but Visual Web Developer is really smart about helping us with those sorts of repetitive tasks. So instead, I'm just going to double-click on this ASP.NET button control, and you'll see that we've popped into the code behind, and Visual Web Developer has created a subroutine in Visual Basic to handle this click event. So it's defined the button one click event handler. This is the Visual Basic method that we'll call when that event fires. It's passed in the appropriate arguments by default, and it's wired up that event handler by saying it handles the click event of the button one control instance. Now all we have to do is write some code. So we can say label one, and we need to access the property that we want to manipulate, which will be the text property. And let's take the text that gets entered into the second text box and put it into this label. So we'll say text box to text. And what we've done is take the text that's entered into text box 2 and assign it to the text property in label 1. Let's go back into markup here, and I want to go into source mode. Let's take the text out of the label control. So we start with an empty label control. And let's go ahead and run this as it stands. Go ahead and say yes, we'll allow Visual Web Developer to enable debugging. So you'll see here, we don't get any content for the label control. Now let's type in some text, let's say value 1 and value 2. Now I'm going to click on the button control. Now you'll recall that it's in our code behind file, the Visual Basic file that runs on the server, that we take the text out of the text box and put it into the label control. So let's go ahead and click button. And when we click button, we see that that value value 2 from our second text box gets published into the text property of the label control. Now, that means that we've posted back to the server and that server-side code is executed. Well, how does that happen? We didn't tell the button control to do that. Well, let's go in to view source and see what our HTML looks like. So this will look pretty familiar to you with a couple of exceptions. You'll recall that when we wrote the HTML page from scratch, we had to hand enter the action item. Well, by default, Visual Web Developer has wired the action item up to the same page that generated the code in the first place, the HTML markup in the first place, default.aspx. So when we click on that button and the form is submitted, it gets submitted back to default.aspx. You'll notice a couple of other things here that are interesting. One is this hidden input whose name is viewState, and this value looks like just sort of a hashed value. We don't know exactly what's in there, but that is the viewState of the controls on our page. There's also event validation here. We'll cover that in a future video as well. But suffice to understand that these are part of the infrastructure of ASP.NET that make web programming far less tedious than if we had to do everything by hand from scratch. So, let's see what viewState really means to us. Let's go back and change the value in text box 1. Right, so I've added a value to text box 1. Now, you'll recall that we don't touch text box 1 in any of our code behind. But if I click on the button, let's change this one too. Right. So if I click on the button, we get the post back, the label is updated, but look what happens. We've actually gone back and refreshed the page by going back to default.aspx, but the value for the text box, the ASP.NET control that we never touch in our code behind gets updated with the value that we typed into it. And this is enabled through ViewState. So we can drill down to ViewState and get more detailed about ViewState in the future, but just suffice to say that we didn't have to write specific code on the server to catch those form variables, store their value, recreate the page, put the old values that were submitted to the server request back into the form values before we sent all of the HTML markup back down to the browser to do the page refresh. And it's a very powerful aspect of ASP.NET and the way that the web forms models work. Now, moving forward in these videos, I'm going to show you more about how to use all of the standard controls that come with ASP.NET. But before we do that, we're going to move on in the next video and we're going to look at positioning inside our web forms application.